What's up, y'all? You know what it is when you see myself along with the executive producer, Cool Sam. This Double M Wrestling Edition, you know what it is. Sam and I get together and we talk and discuss wrestling, our passion for wrestling.
Good old wrestling.
We've both been following it for years. So now that we got this platform within Double M, we bring our conversations and discussions, sometimes with a few special guests, as you've seen before. Mm-hmm. We bring it to y'all. Hopefully you guys can chime in with your thoughts and feelings with our videos as well. But what's going on, Sam? How you doing? How you feeling, man?
Man, I feel good. You know, for all us old school wrestling fans, it's a new day. No pun intended. It's a new sheriff in town, and he's shaking things up. So it's a very exciting time for us. So we're going to have some fun with this show.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So let's get right into it. Like you just said, it's a new day, new sheriff in town. Mm-hmm. Just to give a quick recap, Vince McMahon stepped down. Vince McMahon retired after 50? I don't even know. About
50 years in the business.
A lot of years being in the business. A lot of years running what was once the WWF, mm-hmm, turned into the WWE. It's Vince McMahon's baby, Vince McMahon creation. And for the most part, you know, and I say this very respectfully, people thought Vince McMahon was going to be running WWE until the day he was no longer with us. I'll put it like that.
You got close.
77 years old, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I mean, while he's gotten old, you know, we've seen him on TV a few times. While he shouldn't be wrestling, I know he tried to do that.
Yeah, that
little stunt at WrestleMania.
To call the cops.
But for the most part, he seems like he's still in decent shape, still there in terms of his mindset and whatnot. But at the same time, he's aged. Things in this world and the business has changed, especially when you have other businesses starting to blossom and grow and develop. Mm-hmm. So while he had those allegations of sexual misconduct within the business come about,
I think they're a little more than allegations at this point, but I'm not here to judge.
That's not our job.
That's not why we're here. No, that's not our job.
While those, I'll say it again, allegations came about, just that compiled with the fact that he is getting much older. You know, he found that this time was the time where he wanted to step down from being the CEO of the company and retire. And Vince McMahon is no longer in charge of WWE. He still has ownership in terms of, you know, being the creator and founder and whatnot. But mm-hmm, he's no longer director of creative.
Nope.
No longer has his hands in talent relations.
Nope.
He is not involved with any of that. And everything has been transitioned over to Stephanie McMahon.
Yep.
Nick Khan, I believe is his name. And now Triple H, mm-hmm, is the head of creative. What a transition that it's been.
To be honest, it's what should have happened a long time ago.
Okay.
The business was rapidly evolving and Vince couldn't keep up, you know. I'm sorry that he had to leave under such circumstances, I guess would be the word we'd use. It kind of overshadows all the great stuff he's done for the business, not just for WWF/WWE, but for wrestling in general. You know, people call him the father of wrestling. You know, wrestling definitely wouldn't be what it is today without him. But you know, there are certain things in life that are bigger than wrestling, and he got his hands caught in the cookie jar, proverbially.
Yeah, cookie jar.
Yeah, you know, and it was when you couple all those things together, it was time for him to go. The lucky thing for us is he had the perfect successors damn near living under the same roof as him. You know, they knew the business. His daughter grew up in the business her whole life. His son-in-law, former wrestler, has been the COO for years. Wrestling is a part of his life as much as anybody. And Nick Khan has worked with Vince closely for years now, too. So the WWE is definitely in good hands. And they made that very, very apparent from day one of the new regime, which we'd say was SummerSlam.
I believe right around SummerSlam is when the new regime really took over and really kind of kicked off things. And I got to agree with you for sure. You couldn't have asked for the business to fall in any better hands than, you know, Nick Khan, who obviously has been around the business for a long time with Vince, and then Stephanie and Triple H. And I mean, obviously, a lot of the stuff in terms of the business and what Nick Khan and Stephanie, you know, we don't necessarily get to see that for the in terms of what the audience and fans are watching. So while I believe Nick Khan and Stephanie will do a hell of a job in their role, you know, when it comes to sitting down in front of a TV, watching the product, watching the business, that's really where Triple H,
indeed,
you know, is now getting an opportunity to shine. Like I said, taking over now as the head of creative. And I think he's pretty much in charge of talent relations as well.
Yep. So he leads, he leads talent relations, and he is in charge of WWE creative control.
Yeah. So, and so that's huge. And, you know, you always wondered when that day would come, what things would look like after Vince. And, you know, you kind of talked about this as well as myself. The business has changed over the years. The product has evolved. And I don't say evolved prior to Triple H taking over. The business has evolved with other companies coming up. AEW, you know, you had TNA for a while. You got Ring of Honor. You got New Japan. You got all these other businesses out there, these companies. And while they're not on the same level as WWE, because WWE's global, they've reached that level of success. While those other companies haven't really, you know, battled with WWE neck and neck, if you got a chance to watch these other companies and the product that they're putting out, it's changed. It's more vulgar, more graphic. The storylines are more realistic. A lot of things have been different in some of these other companies, whereas in WWE with Vince McMahon, they've kind of been steady with the same kind of formula over the years. And it's a formula that's worked for them and has got them got the company to the point where they are now. But with all things in life, most of the time, people look for some kind of change and evolution and something a little different, add a little spice, a little flavor to it. Mm-hmm. And WWE for a long time wasn't doing that. Yeah, they were bringing in new characters and new faces and whatnot. But in terms of the product and the storylines that they were telling, it was just on a steady pace. No type of increase, no nothing. But now, it is the Triple H, the Paul
Levesque,
whatever you want to call him, the Hunter Hearst Helmsley, whatever it is his time to shine now with him taking over creative and being a part of talent relations. And Sam, he's wasted no time with making an impact on what the product looks like.
Not a second. He got right to work.
From SummerSlam, I mean, SummerSlam, there was still, I would say, some carryover from the storylines and things that were happening before under Vince and, you know, the team that he had around him. But once SummerSlam ended and they got to that first Monday after SummerSlam, bam, you just could watch and see and feel a difference and how the show was being run in terms of matches and storylines that were taking place, the interviews backstage, the way commentary was being done. Like, you could just hear and see some of the differences with Triple H and his regime now in charge.
And I think the best thing about it was there was so much uncertainty around SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Because Vince stepped down right before the pay-per-view was going to air. And Triple H was in charge. He stepped up to the plate. And he was handed the daunting task of wrapping up these storylines that Vince had created that, for the most part, people weren't feeling, but they needed to conclude anyway, because it would have been a disaster if we just acted like they never happened, if we acted like they weren't there. So we had to find a way to end those stories off in a way that was still entertaining and appealing to the WWE universe, while also implementing his own ideas, his own style, the new vision that he had for the WWE going forward, because he knew people were going to be looking forward and looking into that from day one. SummerSlam had to be a hit.
Yeah.
There was no wiggle room, no room for error. SummerSlam had to be a home run.
And it was, for the most part.
I enjoyed it.
I definitely enjoyed it from start to finish.
I definitely enjoyed it. You could tell that, you know, we were talking the other day. It feels like Triple H hasn't slept in weeks.
Yeah.
Like, all he does is sit in his office and work, because this, the things that he's implemented so far and so quickly, that's nothing but hard work, determination, and creativity. You know, even with the way SummerSlam started, you know, we had the Becky versus Belair for, I don't know, the umpteenth time.
Yeah.
Which was a calling card of Vince just giving us these rinse and repeat championship matches that Triple H had to figure out a way to make it interesting, right? We've seen this movie before. I think most of us knew that Belair was probably going to win, because that's who we're trying to push, and it only made sense for, you know, Bianca to get her get back at SummerSlam for what Becky did to her at SummerSlam the year before, that embarrassing 26-second match that I hate to bring up because it was a travesty on many fronts, but it happened nonetheless. So we knew Belair was going to win. So a lot of times it's hard to get excited for a match when you feel like the outcome has already been, I mean, of course the outcomes are predetermined, but when they make it so obvious that it's predetermined, it's like watching a movie and they tell you how the movie's going to end in the first 5 minutes of the movie. It makes you uninterested in watching the rest of the movie.
Yep.
What did Triple H do? They put on a good match. Instead of, you know, Becky doing what she usually does, she hugs Bianca. She shows her a sign of respect. Then what? Boom. Bayley's music drops. Now, we haven't seen Bayley in over a year because she caught herself to Klay Thompson, where she got injured, then got injured again while trying to rehab from the first injury. So nobody knew when Bayley was coming back. There were speculations that it would be soon, but we had no idea when. And when her music dropped at SummerSlam, it blew the proverbial roof off the place. I mean, granted, it was outside, so there was no roof. But if there was a roof, it would have been blown off. So now what happens? We see Bayley walking down the aisle. Bianca, she's excited to see her. Hasn't seen Bayley in a while. Bayley has to keep up the persona that she had before she went away with injury, which was, this is the new Bayley, the more confident, less caring about the fan perception of her Bayley. So she's walking down that long ramp.
Long as hell.
And then you hear someone else's music drop. And then there's mass confusion because it sounds like Dakota Kai's music. Now, Dakota Kai was someone that wasn't even signed to WWE anymore. She was a huge hit in NXT. She was a NXT Women's Tag Team Champion twice. You know, had a lot of success with Raquel Gonzalez, who is also somebody who's getting pushed right now. And then she got released, like so much other talent, before she got her chance to debut really on the main stage. Mm-hmm. So when people heard her music come out, not only were they confused, they were excited because she was back in WWE, and we were all just trying to figure out what her connection was to Bayley. And then, just when you thought it couldn't get any more confusing, you hear Io Sky's music. Another NXT talent that we had not seen in a while, had not known if she was still with the company, basically got buried, and now she's coming down alongside Dakota Kai and Bayley, And you can tell they formed this new faction out of nowhere that no one had heard any rumors about. It must have been done last minute, because usually when something big is happening backstage, somebody leaks something. Leaks
somehow, some way, for sure.
I didn't hear a mother flipping thing about them.
Yeah.
You know, I thought we were never going to see Dakota Kai again, right? So now you have the three of them enter the ring with Bianca. Bayley's on the mic, doing excellent promo work. Heel Bayley's way better on the mic than face Bayley.
Absolutely.
So now there's a confrontation. It's looking like the three of them are going to jump Bianca. And who comes to Bianca's aid? One-armed Becky Lynch.
Yep.
Because now that Becky has respect for Bianca, she stood side by side. So no physical altercations went down. Boom. Right out the gate. Unexpected. You got a face turn for Becky for whenever she gets back from that separated shoulder.
Yep, I believe so.
So when she gets back, the fans are going to be happy. She's going to get an amazing pop. You got the return of Bayley, who's been injured for so long that we were clamoring for her to come back because she's a valuable part of, you know, the entire women's division.
Yep.
And then you add two gone but not forgotten NXT talents that used to be at the top of their respective women's division, who not only have returned, but have returned in a faction with Bayley as their leader, that you can tell are coming to shake things up for the entire women's division in WWE. No one else could have pulled off that kind of genius to start off a pay-per-view than Triple H.
And he did a hell of a job. Hell of a job. And, you know, what you explained right there pretty much is the introduction to what Triple H is doing and has been doing ever since he took over. Like we both just said, the rest of SummerSlam was great. Solid matches. The tag match for the Unified titles was awesome. Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns was another match we've seen over and over and over again. This time around, with the last man standing and all the other aspects they added with the forklift, and they made it interesting. While we've seen them fight a million times, they made it interesting. I think it was, again, the right call for Roman Reigns to be victorious, but hopefully that's the last time we see those two fight for a long time. I won't say it'll never happen again, but hopefully for a while we don't see that match again. But overall, SummerSlam was good. But like you just said, the way it kicked off, Triple H bringing back two women, and me personally, for somebody like me who I don't watch much of NXT, I see these two girls come out next to Bayley, and I'm like, yo, who the hell are these girls? And, you know, obviously I'm hitting you up, and, you know, you give me the 411 on who these girls are. So I'm like, okay, I understand now. But it goes to show you the difference in mindset and how talent is viewed and valued under Triple H than it was under Vince McMahon.
Because
you fast forward after SummerSlam, you got people debuting on the main roster who never was on the main roster, or you got people who are on the main roster who aren't really getting chances and opportunities, now getting a push and getting an opportunity. Ciampa. He's getting a push now.
And how long was I been talking to you about Ciampa?
And I know that's one name from NXT. Again, I don't watch too much NXT, but that's one name that I kept hearing big time in NXT. Came into the main roster. They weren't doing much with him. Triple H takes over. This dude gets a title match. Another name that's popping up. Before I get to that name, you mentioned another girl, another wrestler, female wrestler, Raquel Rodriguez.
Yes. Gonzalez.
Gonzalez. Sorry, she was previously Rodriguez. I think they changed her name.
Nope.
It's one or the other.
You
I know
Vince.
They changed names. But either way, she was in NXT doing her thing, comes up to the main roster. Just another female wrestler there. But on an episode of SmackDown recently, I think they had a gauntlet match see who was going to be the next contender for the SmackDown Women's title. And she beat like four wrestlers on her own. Like, she was doing her thing, and she's getting an opportunity to shine. I thought she was going to win it, but
Shayna Baszler
came out there.
Is also someone that is finally going to get I think, the push that she's deserved, because that's another NXT talent.
Yep.
When she was in NXT, one word, dominant.
Yep.
She ain't just beat people. She hurt people.
Yeah.
And then she came up to the main roster. She's been in a bunch of tag team storylines. She's had a couple championship matches, but she lost every time, and it just made no sense. Now she finally gets the opportunity to go back to being, I think her nickname is the Queen of Hearts or the Queen of Spades. She's the queen of, she's the queen of breaking people arms. That's what she's really good at. And Triple H just seeing that talent and giving these people the chance to shine.
Yep. So there's another name of somebody who's getting an opportunity that was in NXT. Recently on Raw, Kevin Owens, somebody who has been on the main roster for a long time, but just seeing his time on the main roster fluctuate in terms of getting a push, not getting a push, being a mid-card, then disappearing for a while. You know, I guess coming out of NXT, he was just a guy who just beat people up, had a mean streak.
Mm-hmm.
He came to the main roster, and they just used him in that way, then not use him that way, then he's comedic relief. But now it seems like they're putting him back in a position where he's Kevin Owens. He just fights and beats people up. He has that mean streak. He's getting back to that. And then a name I definitely want to bring up, just a couple more names to bring up, but a name I definitely want to bring up that I know you and I have had plenty of conversations about, Karrion Kross.
My second favorite wrestler after Roman.
Let me tell you something. Again, I said this probably the third or fourth time. I don't watch too much NXT. But when Sam said to me one time, a long time ago, back when Karrion Kross was on NXT, Sam said, Mike, you have to tune in and see this guy, because he is a problem down in NXT. And I was like, all right, you know what? Let me give it a shot. Whether I watch it live or what I go on YouTube and see the highlights, either one, I'm going to check out this Karrion Kross guy. And he was a force. Karrion Kross was a force.
Animal.
Got the title, beating everybody up. His promos were crazy. Like, the way they presented him was just nothing but dominance. And you figure, oh my goodness, they got an easy heel to bring up to the main roster who was going to be dominant, and everything that was happening to NXT worked. They brought him up to the main roster on Raw, took away his wife, who was his manager, Scarlett. I believe they changed his music.
Sure did.
And then after one or two appearances, they made him start coming out a mask.
Dumbass costume with a mask.
Costume, and they just changed him up completely. And then after a while, where Vince and his people realized it wasn't working, the fans were just like, nah, Vince, you screwed him up. They said, well, we tried, and then they just cut him. So I want you to talk a little bit of Sam, while among Karrion Kross being one of them, Triple H clearly sees value in some of these people who he's bringing back, some of these people who he's now giving a renewed push. And then he's also probably names out there that Triple H said, hey, these female and male wrestlers who you guys cut, who was killing it for me in NXT, I'm going to show y'all what's up when I bring them back, or when I give them a push, or when I fix their character. I'm going to show y'all what's up. It seems like Triple H has been and is going to continue to not waste any time righting those wrongs with some of those guys who are no longer with the company, or guys who are with the company that just lost steam.
Yep. I think the reason it's worked so effortlessly for Triple H is because a lot of these talents were his talents.
Yep.
They're from NXT, which was and still is Triple H's baby. That's him and Shawn Michaels' creation. Triple H was someone, he went out to the indie scene and he took a look at these wrestlers, and he didn't follow the stereotypical mold of superstars that Vince had kind of laid out for the last 30, 40, going on 50 years. He went out and got international talents that blew up. You got your Shinsuke Nakamura's. He's been, you know, on the main scene for a few years now, has had a couple intercontinental and U.S. title runs, was even a tag champion one time, you know, been pretty consistent, but he was huge over in Japan. Vince really never had that burning desire to go out and bring over, you know, talents that were huge in other promotions. He was always someone that loved his homegrown guys, his Stone Colds, his The Rocks, his Undertakers, his Triple H's, you know, his Shawn Michaels, the guys that didn't blow, even if they had little brief stints in other promotions.
They came through the WWE system.
And they blew up there, and they never went anywhere else. Every other promotion, they didn't give a damn where you was before. If you were willing to work for them now, they'd bring you along. But Vince had his pride. He had his code, and he stuck to it. Triple H had that eye for talent because he saw the way the wrestling game was evolving. And he knew that eventually the WWE Universe was going to want to see some new faces, some fresh storylines. You know, even during the Attitude Era, there were so many mid-card to top-ranked superstars that you can mix things in. You could mix Triple H and Stone Cold and The Rock and The Undertaker and Kane and Shawn Michaels and you know, a little earlier than that, you had Hitman and you had, you know, Kevin Nash, you know, you had Big Show, all these people that were legitimate title contenders, the Chris Jerichos of the world. But right now, before Triple H got involved, how many top talents were there really? Real WWE champion contenders. You had obviously Roman. Brock, but again, he's part-time. So that mold wasn't going to keep working because we as fans, we were tired of having the guy who's supposed to be the face of the company be someone who's on vacation half the year. Didn't make any sense. You know, it used to be John Cena, but again, he's made that transition over to Hollywood. Best of luck to him. So then you have Drew. Drew's been a mainstay. And even though, you know, I'm a big Roman guy, you got to give a lot of credit to Drew because Drew carried that company. When Roman was recovering, it was Drew that carried WWE through that first half, maybe three quarters of that pandemic era where there were no live fans at any of the events. Imagine winning your first WWE championship in front of computer monitors.
Wild.
Your pop, your roaring celebration was computer animation. Couldn't dap up nobody. Couldn't go celebrate in the crowd with fans. Got your belt and went into the back. Put your mask on.
You know, that's not funny. But, you know, one thing that I think I'm hoping will happen, or at least, which is kind of crazy because during the time that Vince was in charge, you mentioned an era where you talk about mixed matching different superstars. There was an era where, like you just mentioned, The Rock, Stone Cold, Triple H, Kurt Angle, Jericho, Undertaker, Big Show. Like, there was a time where a lot of these pay-per-views, early 2000s, late 1999, like, a lot of those title matches sometimes were triple threats. Fatal four-ways. Triple threats, fatal four-ways. Because you had so many stars to pull from. You can mix and match. They had that Armageddon. I forgot what year it was. Maybe 2002, 2003. Armageddon, Hell in a Cell.
With Rikishi?
Or Rikishi.
I think it was 2003.
2001, between that, those years. The Rock, Stone Cold, Triple H, Rikishi, big, like Undertaker. That match was crazy because you had so many stars and you can build storylines with multiple stars. And again, no knock on Vince because that was under Vince's time, but he was able to create those stars. As the years went on and just the world and the companies evolved, it was tough to create stars. It's one thing people have knocked WWE for a while because they don't have any stars. They're not creating any new stars. Yeah, you got Cena, and who else is on Cena's level? Randy Orton, Edge. Like, you got some of these guys, but they weren't on the level of when we're talking about late 90s, early 2000s of Triple H and Rock. So as years went on, all these pay-per-views are one-on-one match, one-on-one match. And WWE, they tried once in a while to put these fatal four-ways or elimination chambers, but I think if you really notice, sometimes when they do these fatal four-way matches for the title or these elimination chamber matches, they sometimes throw in some random dudes who you're like,
no chance
you have no chance and no business even being in these storylines for this title match. They just need an extra guy to have it in
a body.
I feel like there was one year R-Truth was in an elimination chamber match.
Absolutely was.
And you're like, for what? What is R-Truth doing in an elimination chamber match?
You're not going to win.
But I say that to say, I feel like the way Triple H is trending with this new era, we're going to get back to a time similar to when you can pull for multiple stars. Because you still have some of the carryover guys that were there from Vince's time. And then you still have some of those guys who came up from NXT, came up to the new roster, didn't get packaged the right way that Triple H is going to fix. And then, on top of that, you have guys who got cut who didn't get a chance to really do anything, who now Triple H can hopefully bring back and recapture some of that magic they previously had. So Triple H can take this company in literally a brand new direction. And it's something that fans have been asking for a long, long time.
And it's so natural to him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, this seems like it was what he was destined to do.
Yeah.
You know, and you can even hear it when you get reports from like the morale in the back. Like, superstars are excited for this new regime, you know, because they know there's going to be more opportunities.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to see fresh faces in the locker room, people that you have built friendships with going up and down the road with that got released, that you missed seeing and you thought they should have never been let go. Triple H is bringing them back. That's making you want to do your job even more, making you want to go out and put on a better show with these fans, people that you built chemistry in and outside the ring with. Now you have these new storylines that are captivating us, you know, and it's going back to the WWE of old, / WWF, where you get small little Easter eggs, you know, where they're not throwing the whole storyline out at you at one time. It's slow storytelling, slow building. You know, you have randomly on Raw last night, you had all these little Easter eggs, these little random commotions throughout the show that nobody could explain. You would see it, but people would just be totally oblivious to it, and it'd make you think for a second, like, okay, KO's having an interview in the back, but in the background, you see there's an obvious car crash.
I missed that completely. I was so focused on KO's.
You didn't know
it completely.
I saw it, but I couldn't tell if it was like a real car accident or if it was part of the work, because I'm like, this is random. But you see Doudrop, you see Nikki A.S.H., and you see a couple officials, and it's a real car that crashed into something. Like, that car crashed, there's smoke coming out. You're like,
I missed that completely.
This is extremely random, but I don't know what else to do with this. So, okay, cool. And then you have Bayley and her faction walking by in the back. I think they had just gotten into
it was talking to Alexa Bliss and Asuka at a confrontation,
you know.
And then you see security guards running, and I was like, what the hell?
Running through the back. And even the superstars, even though, you know, they're probably in on it,
yeah,
they do a great job looking as confused as we are. You're like, all right, first there's a random car crash, now you got what look like real police officers running by superstars like there's some kind of emergency going on, but no one says anything. So the show's going on, but in the back of your mind, you're like, nah, what the hell's going on here?
Not in my mind. I missed it all.
What is this? This is something weird. But you know what? Because it's been so long since WWE's done anything where they threw these little hints at you or these little foreshadowings of something to come, that you almost kind of forgot that they ever did that. So you don't make anything of it. You're like, well, if it's an emergency, we'll hear about it later, or let me go check Twitter, see if somebody knew something. Then the show ends. AJ gets his win over The Miz, which was a good match. Sidebar. The Miz. Give that man his flowers now, because he is a star. He might be the most versatile person in that locker room. Because whenever you need The Miz to do something, he's doing it. Whenever you want to throw a random celebrity into a storyline and you need a superstar to carry that storyline, you give him The Miz. Whether it's Bad Bunny, whether it's Logan Paul, who Logan Paul might actually have a part-time future in the WWE, because that's the best, that was the best second match I've ever seen from someone who's not a professional wrestler. So he might have a future in the business. We'll see what happens. But Miz just has a way of uplifting other talent. Even the boost that he's given Ciampa, being in his corner, showing him the ropes, because Ciampa was always a great wrestler in NXT. Mm-hmm. I guess the one thing that you can maybe say was maybe he didn't cut promos that you could have aired on like national television that would have captivated like all audiences, you know. But Miz has worked with him now. You can tell now when he gives those promos that like Miz has taught him a few things. He's learned how to fine tune and tweak some things so that his promos go a little bit smoother. They're not just aggressive banter. Like he's actually saying something that the WWE universe can gravitate toward. So that's The Miz. The Miz is just a workhorse. He doesn't miss work. He's always there, always ready to do whatever storyline you need him to do. He doesn't complain. Not to say that people that have complained haven't had reasons to, but The Miz is just somebody who's just been through the system all this time. You can tell he loves what he does, and he is damn good at it. So I hope people really recognize what kind of like golden talent WWE has with The Miz, because you could really just call him one day like, yo, Tupac's back from the dead and he want to join WWE. Can you make something happen? And he gonna figure it out.
He can work with anybody.
He's the one person that will always figure it out.
Yes.
And that's that kind of talent. You can't find that everywhere. You got to really cherish that. So please, Miz, if no one else is giving you your flowers, Double M is giving you your flowers. Kudos.
But yes, the match ends. And again, everybody's obviously in on it. But even AJ Styles in the ring,
he like
looking off into the crowd. I'm like, yo, what the hell is going on? The announcers, the commentators are kind of like, what the hell's going on? I was like, I remember I text you. I was like, this is a solid match, but ain't nothing interesting happening here to end the show. Yeah, and it went off
air. Mind you, like, sorry.
I saw the little thing going on in the crowd, but AJ, you see it. AJ Styles looks and then just goes back to, you know, celebrating his win, and then the show ends. But I'm like, all right, let me text Sam. Because maybe Sam says something, knows something I don't. Because I text Sam, like he just said, I text him like, it's kind of a sorry-ass ending to Raw. But Sam's like, nah. What's his name?
Dexter Lumis.
Yeah. So again, for the fifth, sixth, seventh time, I don't watch NXT. But I've seen this Dexter Lumis guy, and the only thing I keep remembering, he just got these eyes.
Psycho.
He just looked like a crazy, crazy guy. So obviously the show ends, and you know you go on Bleacher Report and Twitter, and everybody's talking about the same thing. Dexter Lumis. That was Dexter Lumis. And, you know, even with that, and now we're only talking about, it's only been about, what, a week, 2 weeks, Triple H is taking over. Something, another thing that that WWE hasn't had too much of in a long time that Triple H clearly is bringing back. Each episode is now ending with some kind of cliffhanger.
Yes, cliffhangers.
Raw ended with a cliffhanger with Lunis appearing and the other things happening throughout the show. Previous to that, SmackDown wasn't necessary cliffhanger, just the idea that Karrion Kross is back and what the hell is he about to do now that he's back. It seems like Triple H, and that's how wrestling used to be before, mm-hmm. because you want that kind of mystery, kind of cliffhanger, type of feeling that's gonna draw you back into like, oh damn, I gotta tune in next Friday to see what the hell's about to happen. Mm-hmm. Damn, I gotta tune in Monday to see what the heck's happening with Dexter Lunis. Like, I could really tell you as I sat here and watched SmackDown, watched Raw, I'm really like, yo. And granted, I never used to watch too many of these shows live because I'm like, I'll just watch the highlights on YouTube or read about it on Bleacher Report. Now I'm back to a little bit back to the feeling of, okay, I need to watch live to catch these random things that's taking place. Because, I mean, yeah, you can watch it on YouTube after you hear about it and see the tweets about it, but it's another thing to see it live and you're like, oh, snap. Like, oh, he popped. Okay. It's a different feeling when you catch it live. So that's what Triple H seems to be instilling now with having these cliffhangers at the end of shows. And while the fans have already been drawn in by everything that he's doing, these cliffhangers are just have you wanting more after every show. And that's what you want as a wrestling fan. Like, you want something to pull you back in and say, yeah, this is interesting. Can't wait to see what's happening next. And that's what Triple H is doing.
It is. You like it now. It's fun again. Mm-hmm. It's starting to be fun again. Because now with these cliffhangers, what you do, like me and Mike, we'll text after the show. What do you think this means? What do you think's gonna happen next? Who else do you think is gonna come out next week? Those conversations. The show ended at 11, but the buzz
still there for another 30 minutes and 30 minute hour.
Twitter is still going off in this age of social media. Like, Raw was the number one trending topic till that very next morning, because that's how much buzz was still carried over. Because again, it's been so long since we've received quality product like this that people are genuinely excited, making their own fantasy conclusions about what each new thing that Triple H has implemented could eventually mean. You know, Dexter Lumis is somebody that was, when he was in NXT, he was a part of The Way, which was a faction that had Johnny Gargano, aka Johnny Wrestling, who will forever be tied to who? Ciampa. Back when they were the DIY tag team. And their storyline, Ciampa and Gargano, was basically the backbone of NXT. Before NXT became NXT 2.0, Ciampa and Gargano carried that show. The matches that they had as tag teams and as opponents were some of the pillars of NXT's success, right? But then when Vince said that he wanted to take NXT in another direction, Gargano said, thanks, but no thanks. So there was that. And, you know, he had his wife was a part of the stable too, and the other female wrestler who was dating Dexter Lumis. I think her name is Indy Hartwell. I think she's still in NXT. I'll have to double check that. But now you're thinking like, okay, well, if Dexter's here and, you know, it seems like he was in the crowd and he gave that death stare to AJ Styles. Now, as an intrigued fan, you're over here connecting dots that maybe don't have anything to do with each other, but maybe they do. That's the fun thing about it. Now you're like, okay, Dexter Lumis used to be in the Way with Johnny Gargano. Johnny Gargano and Ciampa used to be a tag team. Dexter Lumis came out during AJ Styles' match with The Miz, and The Miz is the protege of who now? Ciampa. So now you're like, is all this connected? What does this mean? Is Lumis going to be beefing with AJ Styles now? Is he going to join? All that look at the conversations we can have now that Triple H has given us stuff to talk about. A couple weeks ago, Raw ended at 11. We stopped talking about wrestling at 11:01 because there wasn't really anything to look forward to, because you knew what every Raw and SmackDown was going to be. The Usos were going to come out. They were going to fight somebody, because the Usos just fight every
tag team.
They fight every tag team. They win. They don't lose. Roman comes out once a week, cuts a promo about the bloodline being the best. Drew talks about how he can't wait to fight Roman and take the belt.
So, two things I want to say for sure. Two things I definitely want to speak on. One, again, me and Sam are just some casual wrestling fans here doing a show talking about what we watch and what we're witnessing. One would think, even when Vince McMahon was there, you have this company, you have Triple H, who's your son-in-law, everybody's clearly working together. You would think that NXT storylines can easily transfer over to the main roster, and there's no need to change characters, break up factions, split up tag teams. They can just transfer over to the main roster. Because obviously NXT is great, but like, it's another thing to be on SmackDown and be on Raw, primetime TV and whatnot. And while here and there they did with some guys, for the most part, you're on NXT, you try to get over to Raw, SmackDown, and it's just no type of connection, similar to what we saw with Karrion Kross, other guys who have fallen through the wayside, Keith Lee, another name.
Oh, God.
You thought Hit Row was like...
Oh, God.
You would think that these factions, these tag teams, these wrestlers who have success on NXT go from Triple H and Shawn Michaels and everything they're doing, easily transfer over to the main roster with Vince and Bruce Pritchard and all the rest of these guys. But for some reason, that connection wasn't happening. That's one thing I want to say. But it seems like now, with Triple H kind of in charge of everything, he's going to make sure that, one, those old NXT things that you may remember, y'all going to remember what's going on the main roster now.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, obviously, he's going to have his hand on the current NXT 2.0 and make sure that, similar to what I just said, things that are happening in NXT 2.0 will transfer over to the main roster. That's one thing I want to say. Second thing I want to say, it kind of brings back to what we talked about earlier. I got to reiterate it again. Having Triple H in charge now just makes things so simpler, because you have a guy who was a part of the greatest era in professional wrestling, Attitude Era, and even the Ruthless Aggression. Like, he was there with some of the greatest eras around some of the greatest wrestlers during his time as an active performer. And then you fast forward to even the years he wrestled here and there part-time to currently, you know, he's not wrestling anymore. So now you're talking about a guy who sees what great storylines and great wrestlers and all of that and great creative looks like. And now you have a guy who also understands, like, what the social media aspect in this current climate is. And you put those things, two things together with his mind, with the team that he has around him, you should be expecting WWE to do some great things over these next several months, next coming years, as long as Triple H is running the show with his mindset and everything he knows and understands. Like, this might be another damn near golden era. Will I say we'll see another Attitude Era or anything? I won't jump that far. But I feel, with Triple H's knowledge, he has the perfect formula to put WWE back on a pedestal where it's like, yeah, we're WWE. Any other company,
good luck.
But like, we cream the crop up here. Those are two things I definitely wanted to mention.
And I think it came at the right time, because, you know, not to say that AEW was competition. I won't say that, because WWE just had such a head start against any wrestling promotion that there was no way any other promotion could really be competition. But I tell you what, AEW was putting out some quality product because Tony Khan got it. He was like, well, I see what everybody don't like about WWE right now.
Let's just do it over here.
Hey, Dada, you tired of that Mickey Mouse cookie cutter stuff over at WWE? Well, we'll let you say ass and bitch on our show, and you could come have fun over here. Like, the stuff that TV-14 thing that WWE finally allowed us to get back to instead of being PG this whole time, AEW started off like that. You know, they took that model that WWE had from the Attitude Era and before, and a little bit of the Ruthless Aggression Era, and they brought it back. They've literally by taking some of those superstars.
Yeah.
So Triple H coming in now, I really feel like he sent a warning shot to AEW. He said, listen, let me show y'all who the originators are.
Exactly.
You can copy it, but it ain't the same. And let's be honest, it's not. It's really when WWE is on their game, they really are untouchable.
Yeah, yes. They just have too much.
It's too much.
Too much behind the machine. It's too much behind the machine.
It just works so well. And Triple H got that because Triple H understood that this isn't an ego thing. This isn't an ego sport. Obviously, everyone has an ego, and you know, when you're a wrestler, you're gonna have an ego because you want to. In any sport, you want to go out there to be the best. But when you're in charge, when you're the head of a company, when you're in charge of putting out a good show, you have to know when to put your ego aside to do what's best for the company. Vince never did that.
Nah.
Vince said, I've been doing this longer than anybody, and it looks like it's still working, so why change? Hence why so many wrestlers from NXT either got the boot or when they came up here to the main stage, Vince completely changed their entire persona because he had an archetype in his mind of what a successful wrestler would be. And if they didn't fit that mold before they came left NXT, either you were going to get buried into the main roster, you were going to be some jobber who just would just come out to get beat up by somebody every week and lose every match, or you get released. You get released. And the fact that so many people that got released by WWE have gone on to other promotions and have been instant hits just goes to show you, like, if that was Triple H that had been in charge, they would be superstars over here. Swerve from Hit Row, how you remember how we were talking about Hit Row?
They fumbled that faction.
Me and Mike were maybe the two most excited people in the world about Hit Row getting drafted to SmackDown.
Something different.
We thought they were gonna blow up. Swerve has all the talent in the world. You don't believe me? Watch AEW tag team champion. Alongside who? Keith Lee. Someone else that the man was a double champion in NXT. First ever simultaneous NXT and North American champion in history. He's the only one that ever do it.
Fumble.
Then you bring him up to the main roster. Now you're calling him Bearcat. What the hell is a Bearcat? I know that's in reference to someone, but why? He didn't need to be Bearcat to win them two belts in NXT. Dominant. And then you turn him into a joke up here. Not then he's gone. Instant success in AEW.
And that's not to say that every single person is going to become a star. Like, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But it seems as if over the last couple of years, Vince has fumbled guys and girls who you have this, I won't call it really a minor league division, but you have this other brand.
Developmental
brand where people are behind these stars. And just because they're not your guys are on, they're not on your shows, Vince felt as if, you know, they couldn't transition over to the main roster and have the same level of success. Like, people who watch NXT, for the most part, I mean, maybe I'm different, but for the most part, they watch NXT, they watch SmackDown, watch Raw. Like, they watch it all, Vince, but don't even matter anymore because Vince is no longer in power.
Thank God.
We are now officially in the Triple H era. And so far, two thumbs up, four thumbs up. That's what we're seeing. But one thing I definitely want to bring up before we get ready to wrap things up, looking ahead now, we talk about the bloodline. We talk about Roman Reigns. What is he, 700 plus days as champion? There's going to come a time where he's going to lose one or both of those belts. Upcoming pay-per-view or whatever they call it now, premium live event, Clash of Titans taking place in London, I believe. Across the pond.
Clash at the Castle.
Yes. Where he's taking on, right now, he's taking on Drew McIntyre for the belts. Now, I say right now because, like I said, you had an episode of SmackDown where Karrion Kross emerged. He attacked Drew. He kind of gave Roman the warning sign with the TikTok and the watch thing.
Which I love.
It was great to see. Could he somehow insert his way into that match? It remains to be seen, like we've been saying the whole show, cliffhangers from Triple H. But whether it turns into a triple threat match, whether it stays one-on-one with Drew and Roman, I'm going to ask you straight up, Sam, is Clash at the Castle where Roman Reigns loses the WWE Unified Universal Heavyweight Championship? You just talked about earlier, Drew McIntyre carried the company during some really slow times.
He did.
And most people say he deserves a run. I believe that Drew deserves a run.
He does.
Is Clash at the Castle where that run begins?
You know me. You know at this point, I'm basically Samoan. Like, the bloodline is my favorite thing to come out of WWE in a long time. Do I want Roman to lose? No. No, keep it forever. But I ain't no dummy. My man Ray's no fool. Clash at the Castle is Drew going home with the gold.
Woo!
Drew going home with the, because
woo!
Because at this point, what I think is going to ultimately happen, I think they're going to, I don't know if this is a word, de-unify, but they're going to have to split those belts up.
They have to. It's a must.
They're going to have to split those belts up. Now that we have so much incoming talent, the only way they don't split those belts up is if we get rid of the brand splits and it really goes back to Attitude Era days where you can see anybody on any day. But as long as there's brand splits, you're going to need two heavyweight belts. Right? Roman, the last 700 days, has not only been dominant, but he's been historic. There's only, I believe, five wrestlers in history that have had title runs as long as Reigns. And it's, you know, it's the Mount Rushmore. It's the Hulk Hogan's. It's the Bruno Sammartino's. It's the Bob Backlund. Who else? I can't remember the other ones.
But it's been a historic run for sure.
Historic. And this bloodline storyline has just been excellent. The unifying of the two belts with him beating Brock, finally finishing that saga with Brock. but still doing it in a way where, like,
he beat Brock.
Excuse me. He beat Brock, but he didn't bury Brock. And that's what WWE was failing at recently. People were losing in championship matches and then never being heard of again.
Cesaro.
You mean Claudio now that he's... I mean, like, you'd lose to Roman and you'd literally lose to Roman and then you might end up in a new promotion.
Daniel Bryan, Cesaro...
Samoa Joe.
Oh my gosh.
Like, they just got buried. Like, WWE just didn't want you no more. Yeah. Roman beat Edge and Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan is now Bryan Danielson in AEW. Edge left, came back with this Judgment Day thing, which I loved. And then he's not the leader of that no more. That's another show for another time, because y'all don't want me to go on that kind of tangent about how they messed up the Judgment Day. If Triple H was in charge, Edge still runs the Judgment Day, and the Judgment Day is giving the Bloodline some cause for concern as a top faction in the WWE. Adding Finn Balor, Rhea Ripley over here putting guys in them leg locks and, you know, smiling when they're passing out, that's whatever. But no, that got messed up, so whatever. But I think they're going to have to break up the belts. I don't know if it'll happen before Clash at the Cow, but I just know that Drew going home with one of those belts. Why? Because the last time Drew won his belts, again, who was in front of? Nobody. Now we're crossing the pond to his home.
He's owed a title run. And
the kind of pop that Drew is about to get when he gives Roman that claymore and that ref counts 1, 2, 3, that place is going to erupt like Woodstock 99.
Woo! What a crazy documentary. But anyways.
You know, I think he'll lose the belts to Drew. A clash of the, and then I think Roman will go on a bit of a hiatus.
I think it'd be best if he goes on a hiatus, comes back, still the same type of persona,
mm-hmm.
but as a face, because
he still has he's actually liked a lot more now.
People love him,
you know, as this persona. Maybe, however he comes back, he'll come back loved as long as. I think the best way to take the belts off of Roman is to make it a triple threat match, but have Drew pin Karrion. Because Roman loses, but Roman doesn't get pinned. Then Roman goes on his hiatus. He comes back in a few months, demands his title shot. Why? Because he never got pinned. He never technically lost. He wants the gold, sucker. I think that's the best way to do it. Because I just can't, even though I know Drew is gonna win, in my mind, I just cannot picture him
pinning Roman.
It just doesn't
seem, he's not the guy to do it.
It's the person to pin Roman clean,
Sam.
You know who it is, listen. And he gonna bring back the winged eagle belt.
Sam,
you know who it's gonna be.
Sam, listen.
It ain't the American dream no more.
We gonna pull a Triple H and leave this on a cliffhanger. All right? Because we want to talk about the Judgment Day. And just a quick thing about the Judgment Day. I don't know if Edge gonna break that faction up. But I'm gonna save that. The person that pinned Roman Reigns, I think we on the same page with that. Roman Reigns losing can happen to two people. One person you named, the other person. We're going to save it. I'm going to put it like this. Continue rocking with Double M. Continue rocking with Sam and myself. Shout out to our brother Marv.
Yes, sir.
It's Double M to the Move. More content to come. Be on the lookout. You know what it is. Appreciate y'all watching and listening. Make sure you continue to tune in. We out. Double M to the moon.